Hey, and welcome to the Ready to Talk podcast. I am your host, The Thoughtful Beast. Today, we're going to be listening to a very dear friend of mine. His name is Adrian Pangilinan, and we're going to be listening to his struggles with loneliness as a gay Asian man. It's Pride Month, which makes this conversation even more important. Please remember that Pride isn't just about parades and fun. The first Pride was a riot, and our LGBTQ plus community still needs our support. So I'm gonna give you a couple statistics from firstamericanprogress.org because these statistics are important and you should hear them. More than one in three LGBTQ Americans faced discrimination of some kind this past year, including more than three in five transgender Americans. To avoid the experience of discrimination, more than half of LGBTQ Americans report hiding a personal relationship, and about one-fifth to one-third have altered other aspects of their personal or work lives. 15% of LGBTQ Americans report postponing or avoiding medical treatment due to discrimination, including nearly 3 in 10 transgender individuals. More statistics from stonewall.org.uk. Only half of lesbian, gay, and bi people, that's 46%, and trans people, 47%, feel able to be open about their sexual orientation or gender identity to everyone in their family. One in five LGBT people have experienced a hate crime or incident because of their sexual orientation and or gender identity in the last 12 months. Four in five LGBT people who have experienced a hate crime or incident didn't report it to the police. We need to know these facts, and we need to be able to really listen and see our LGBTQ community as a whole. That means their joys and their struggles. So let's start listening.
Hey, y'all, it's Adrian Pangilinan. I'm an aspiring Filipino-American photographer, filmmaker. I'm also a frustrated dance artist. And I also have a YouTube channel on my own under my name. And lastly, I have a co-joint YouTube channel as well with Trixie and Marisa.
Yes, we're right there. Or at least mine is there, and then Marissa's will.
Marissa became Mexican Marissa.
She's here on Wednesdays with us. That's when she's here. Sorry, I'm like tagging us and stuff. Oh my God, so how's your Friday going?
It's going well. It kind of started up and then it kind of went down, and then I'm kind of like slowly building up that momentum again. So,
hey, Rich. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. It's fine. We'll just ignore it as I don't understand. But so, Adrian is here to talk to us today about what's your title, Adrian?
LGBT and loneliness with Adrian. I didn't have to say that last part, but
yeah. I like it though. So yes, tell us a little bit about kind of first like your artistic path as an LGBTQ artist.
Ooh. Where do I start? Okay. From trying to remember, I have always been inclined to the arts ever since I was really young. I remember in kindergarten, I just remember gravitating towards the crayons. I was drawing away. And then as I got older, picked up my first instrument, which was the violin. And then I went into dance and also film at SCPA in middle school. Until, you know, and then I graduated with my general ed, but also with an emphasis in dance and film as well. And then when I went to college, I actually continued because I tried to do something traditional. So I tried to go to school for communications, and I got my AA in communications, and then I got rejected at SDSU. So then I was like, okay, then what am I good at after that? You know, then I was like, oh, dance. Then I continued to SESU graduated with my BFA in dance and minor in television. So kind of ironic there, you know? Ironic. And then now I'm a YouTuber and other, what's it called? Trade of Jacks. There,
but no, Jack of all trades.
Dang it, I doubted myself.
Jack of all trades. So, I know recently you were telling me that you wanted to shift more, not that you never represented the LGBT community, but recently you told me you want to more so focus about that aspect in your content.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What led you to be like, oh, I should focus on this more, or I want to focus on this more?
Okay, two things. The first one is the content that I'm seeing online, which is really great and all. I mean, especially there's so much more visibility and so much more representation out there than it has been in a very long time, you know. But then I thought to myself, I'm like, I still don't see anyone that looks like me, you know. I still don't see anyone or hear any stories that mirror or even somewhat, you know, or close to my, you know, to my own experiences. And then to the second one, it's something that I've been struggling with, I guess, you know, in the dark, you know. And I think I really want to use my platform or platforms to, you know, shed light and I guess help myself by trying to, you know, put light into this. So
what exactly have you been struggling with?
Loneliness.
Loneliness. Okay, so that's why you're here today. Before we get into that, going back to the first thing, why do you think there aren't more people who look like you yet out there representing? Like, do you think it's like a cultural thing? Like, do you think it's because of, you know, like we're both Filipino, so it's like part cultural and part maybe pressure? Or do you think like it's just because no one has done it yet, so no one's following suit?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a combination. You know, it's a combination. I think it's a combination. I just think that, I don't know. I mean, in general, I feel like a lot of the people in the community are just trying to survive in general, trying to be okay, you know, and that the next part is actually like, you know, this, the extending out, giving back, you know. So yeah, so I think that's maybe also why there aren't more stories until now. So yeah, I think, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think I know why actually, but.
Ooh, you're breaking up just a little bit.
Hello.
Breaking? There you are. You're fine now.
Okay. I'm a king of lag, y'all.
Yes. Marissa called him the king of lag now.
And she didn't tag me either.
Oh, did you mean mainstream media or social media? I was asking for everything. I count everything as one, but I mean, those are different things. I'm sorry, you were talking about what?
YouTube.
So specifically YouTube for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Social media. Well, yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. So why did you pick the topic of loneliness plus LGBTQ?
Because I am LGBT or I'm part of the LGBT community and I'm lonely. I'm just kidding. Well, not that actually, but you know, it's really present. You know, it's currently the loneliness part is clearly present. The LGBT has been for a while, but you know, that's really what I wanted to use your platform to you know, kind of explore and just to have someone to talk to about it, you know, and hopefully, you know, people that are listening, you know, that are feeling the way that I'm possibly feeling too, could be like, you know, I guess I'm not the only one too, you know.
His love life is laggy as his Wi-Fi. Damn, Rich. Not right now.
Oh, okay. Don't scare me.
Okay, so I have a question. Why do you feel lonely?
Why do I feel? Well, many things, and I feel like it really all has to. It really all goes down to, I guess, the way that I feel about myself, and I think just for the longest time, I feel like this was something that I had to go through internally.
Being gay.
And just kind of the coping, the coming out, and just all of that. It was something that I had to survive on my own, and that I wasn't used to. Like, I'm not used to reaching out in that way. I barely have any gay friends myself. And so that's also something that I'm like, I wish that my support system also included more people that I could directly, hey, I'm feeling this way. Why is that? So. Wait. Sorry. One more thing. Sorry. It just came to mind. And I think for me too, I am just not used to, on the contrary to both of us putting ourselves out there in what we do, I'm not used to being vulnerable in this way, because it's something that I've had to be like, hey, you picked it. This is your life. You got to be strong, no holding back. So there's no room to be fragile,
I definitely understand what you're saying. We do put ourselves out there. We put ourselves out there in our content. A lot of us can say a lot of things on a live, on a YouTube video, while promoting boba. But it's very different than saying these things in person to someone who's there, physically there with you, making eye contact. For me, there have definitely been things easier to say to a camera than it has been easier to say to a person.
Or even to admit to yourself in general,
Yeah, because the thing is, for us, especially with YouTubers, like aside from live content, we can edit. We can just never release this footage. You will never know.
Yeah.
And I know you've said, we've talked about before, you not necessarily always feeling like you belong in the LGBT community. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that, because I'm sure that's something that actually a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah. With that, first, I'm an introvert, and I feel like from my experience, I think it thank you. excuse me.
No, you're fine. Take your time.
I guess what I'm really trying to say is, I feel like there doesn't necessarily feel like a place for people like myself that's kind of in between spectrums in terms of personality is the first thing that comes to mind, because when I go out to bars and clubs, everyone is very loud, very out there, very outspoken, and then what if you're not that, So I just feel like for me, I've just always, first of all, I've also been afraid to put myself out there, but also I didn't necessarily feel like I could relate to some of the types or the personalities, so then that just left me to feel kind of left out and not included.
Yeah, you're not a gay club scene person.
Yes, yeah.
And just sort of, with every group, there are stereotypes to everything. So it's just like when you don't fit those stereotypes, like, and not even necessarily fitting them, but like just because like you don't shine in them, like it gets weird. Like, you know, like I know, like you, like you've only watched Drag Race a couple of times, and like I watch Drag Race all the time, but for like, but that's like something that's sometimes really big for like the gay community, you know what I mean? And it seems really like
big, and it's actually something that I'm starting to love, you know, thanks to you and my other friends too, you know, speak for that, you know, but yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And what, how do you, how have you found your place then in your community, or is this a part of you feeling lonely?
I think it is a part of me feeling lonely. Ooh, hey, Marissa.
I think there are stereotypes of LGBT community that I feel like a lot of us feel pressured to live up to.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
So yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, what was your question again? Because I also want to respond to Marissa's comment.
Oh, yeah. So my question was, and I mean, you did answer it, but if you want to go in a little bit into it.
I answered it.
Okay. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
What was my answer?
David, I got you, boo boo. So I asked, you know, how have you integrated yourself into the LGBT community then? Like, how have you had your found your place, or have you not found your place? And maybe is that why you feel lonely?
Oh, yes, yeah, I haven't. I don't think I've found my place yet. And then a follow up comes up. Just kidding. Well, let's talk about now the the pandemic, coronavirus. Like what I was telling you and Marissa after our cut in half live stream the other day, that it's like, man, I mean, really, God bless all of us. God bless everyone that's out there doing their thing, and you know, may we all survive to this, and we will, you know. But I was like, it's already hard to be single. It's already hard to be part of the LGBT community. It becomes even harder with this whole pandemic, you know, because you're like alone. And then on top of that, boom, you know,
yeah.
You know? So, I think I just feel overwhelmed, you know, and with this whole situation, it just really like highlights that part, you know, of like, not being able to like find my place, or even to, I guess, find someone, you know, it's like, it's just, it feels more because like what you said too, like we have so much more time to sit in our thoughts and feelings. And I don't think I was necessarily trying to avoid them, but it's just like, well, they're there. They are there. So.
Yeah, just because you weren't necessarily trying to avoid them, but now it's just like, but what else am I gonna think about? Because there's nothing else.
Yeah, you know.
And it's really hard. Like, it sounds like you were making moves. Like a lot of us can relate to, like, you were making moves to be like, how do I figure out how to be part of this community? How do I work on my own loneliness? And then coronavirus, boom.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, so I kind of feel like for me, that probably has been my biggest hit, you know? And I mean, I don't want to sound selfish, you know? And I'm trying not to sound selfish by saying this, but it's like, you know, we really have our own, like each individual has their own sets of struggles during these times, you know? It looks different for every person, and it's heavy, you know? It's really heavy.
Yeah. I'm going to read this out loud. Marissa, I think for me personally, obviously being part of the community, a lot of attention is drawn to your sexuality because duh, but I struggle with the hypersexualization that we face. Like, you never go around asking hetero people what role they play in the bedroom. Yeah. Also, the gay gatekeeping.
What does that mean again? The gay
gatekeeping is like, oh, like when someone goes, oh, you don't like spicy food, you're not Filipino enough. Oh, you don't like Drag Race? You're not gay enough.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes, yep. You're not flamboyant enough, or you're not this. The list goes on. The list can go on in that kind of.
Can you explain maybe like some things that you face to also explain like what kind of gay stereotypes that you haven't fit before, just so like people like know a little more, like if you'd like to share.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna speak while I grab my charger. Hold on.
And of course, Adrian doesn't have his charger already in his laptop.
Man, hold on. I was cleaning and singing before I started. Hold on. Okay.
Da, 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 da. I don't have a song. Da, 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 when you...
Okay, I'm doing a plank while I'm going to talk. Okay. Hold on.
Okay, random, but good. Okay, go ahead.
So I don't think I necessarily faced a lot of obstacles like when I was coming out, except from, you know, my family, because my school, you know, because thankfully my school really helped nurture individuality and, you know, and that stuff, you know. But I think for me, really the gatekeeping didn't start happening until I became an adult. I started dating, you know, the dating apps specifically. My experiences in the dating apps where, like what Marissa said, you know, the position that you're in, you know, it's like, which I understand is important in its own way, you know, but it's like, you know this, you know, and several of y'all, my close friends know that I'm the kind of person that, what's my head look? Okay, good. You know, like I am the kind of person that is more so a feeler first, like I have to be attracted to you emotionally first before anything. So I think that is also one of my biggest roadblocks too, is like, if I see, you know, just like attraction to me is different. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's why most people will be like, oh, do you think he's cute? Do you think he's cute and all that stuff? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, because I don't, I wouldn't know until I get a chance to meet them. And I think some other things that I've experienced include, let me see, definitely that kind of shaming.
Shaming, not being able to like talk about boys or like say if they're hot or not.
Huh?
Can you explain the shaming?
Bottom shaming is just what it is, you know, and it's not just, I mean, it's, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. You know, like being shamed for your sexual preference, position. There you go. You know? And yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's okay. Real talk though. It's funny. Like when I was first starting, you know, to get out there, you know, like I didn't know these social cues. I was like, oh, it's okay. You know, I mean, no, it is okay. Actually, it is okay. But then as I started to kind of get more experience, you know, by talking to these people, I was like, oh my goodness, it is nasty. Today's apps are nasty.
Oh, okay. So really, like what Marissa's saying, like you're just not hypersexual, and that sometimes is a thing in the community.
Yes, because of me being emotional, you know, in that sense that I'm, what do you call it? Like someone who is emotionally attracted first.
You need emotional connection before you are physically attracted.
Yes.
Which I'm the same, and we've talked about this before. Yeah. I'm the same. So it's like, I totally get it, but not everyone gets that. And I know like that's a thing. Like not everyone gets that.
Yes. Yeah. Hypersexualize. That's what it is. Yeah. I think that's pretty what it is.
Hmm. And so how have you tried to actually find your place? Like, I know, like you said, like maybe you have not found your place yet, but what are some things like you tried? Like, obviously, because this is not my experience. So I'm wondering, like, what does that look like to try to fit into your community? For you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, I don't think I've had that much experience just like singly, you know, single-handedly, like, you know, in that way. at this moment, I wouldn't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you feel like you just have not put yourself out there because of the shaming, like because of the shame you've already experienced, and like Marissa said, like the expectations that people have of you? Do you think that's been your main roadblock?
Partially, like a huge chunk of it, I would say is that. And then also the other half is just, I'm just awkward and I'm just...
You're just introverted?
Well, when it comes to big scenes, I'm very shy, so yeah.
Same, I have this, I'm gonna read. Marissa, it's also a catch-22 though, especially since gays out age, older have repressed sexuality for so long. So when we finally get to express that, it's like, oh, finally, but also what do I do?
Ooh, yes, yeah, yes.
When did you come out as gay? How old were you?
I was 16. Well, to my family, I'm 16.
Mm-hmm. Oh, our age. She meant our age. Your age. So you came out when you were 16, and like, when you came out to your family, was it a while before you came out publicly to everyone else?
Oh, no, I was out publicly first before.
Oh, okay. So first to your friends, then to your family.
Everyone. Yeah.
So how, it's so interesting, but I don't know how to like phrase my questions.
No, just go ask. But I mean, if it helps too, it took me 5 years, like almost five, like 20. It wasn't until I was 20 that I started to be like, hey, I feel confident enough. Let me try to see how this be, you know? Thanks, Tinder. Yeah.
So what did, okay. So.
Yes.
So let's talk a little more about like apps, because I feel like obviously dating apps like are a big thing.
Yes.
And how has that gone for you and like your experience?
Yes. In the LGBT community, apps are everything, because that's really the only way we're really able to like tell right away, you know, versus like trying to guess, like, are they gay? Are they straight? You know, that kind of a guessing, you know. But my, let me see. I think, well, when I was younger, maybe the first couple of years that I was doing it, my experiences with the app was actually really well. I've gone out on several dates. You know, I was, yeah, I mean, I met up with people and, you know, we went on a date. So, I got to know them and, yeah. But then it wasn't until I started getting older that, Can you please repeat the question again?
Just like, we're just talking about like what your experiences on those apps have been like. So you could feel comfortable with, but just like, you know, like talking about like, what is that like? What is a gay dating app like?
Depending on your mood. I'm just kidding. Well, just like with any apps really, you know, I guess, you know, it really depends on, you know, your mood. You know, but thankfully for me though, you know, I really had great experiences using it. And then I also had some not great experiences using it, you know, kind of like ups and downs. And, you know, some of the downs were just like, okay, wow, I'm growing up.
Yeah, wow. You said that things actually got harder when you were older. And so why do you say that?
I think because I started to, it became harder for me because I started to learn more about myself, and I was like, I like doing this and I don't like doing this, you know, which were things that I was learning along the way. And I think what makes this experience hard for me is because, like, you know, like, I don't want to generalize, you know, but I do feel like there aren't a lot of people looking for an emotional connection first.
Mm. Well, I mean, like, yeah, right? Like, even, like, when you think of things even, like, Tinder, which is, I'm assuming, mostly straight, like it, yeah. It's just, like, a lot of things are not presented as emotional first.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, the Tinder was when, you know, the dates happened. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
And what are, can you name some LGBT apps, like dating apps for people who don't know?
Okay. I don't know much. I know there's a lot more. Should I grab my phone? Here, let me look. Hold on. I know there is Grindr. There is, like specifically, right? Only
Grindr. That's what he said. He said Grindr. Rich said Hinge, but I think Hinge is for everyone.
Yeah. Hold on. Hey, I'm looking at the apps, y'all, because I think the other apps that I've used are like also, you know, kind of like split in half.
Mm-hmm. So I know Grindr's a big one. Did you? Okay, so I don't know because I'm not gay, but like I remember Adam for Adam being a big thing, but I don't know if that's big now. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay, but I was like,
I haven't heard anyone talk about it.
That's probably old.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Ooh. I mean, there's a lot now. There's a bisexual dating app. There is lesbian friended, Cinder for transgenders, Les Park lesbian chat, LGBT animal community, lesbian social, and the list goes on. But the one that I mainly use is Grindr, and just to be transparent, that's the I feel like out of all the apps that I've used, that's the one where I get the quickest response, which is when we like using it, you know. And yeah,
yes, choose the successful ones. There's a long comment here for you that I'm gonna read out. I think this hypersexualization or pressure of it is a great topic because even as a straight male, I also feel the pressure to join in on locker room talk with other bro-y guys, sometimes in circles. I'm always the one people get shocked at because I don't like the obvious hot girl. I also don't understand apps like Tinder and the whole swipe left, right on people's faces, bodies. It feels too meat markety. Also, I'm a huge fan of you, EJ.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you. Likewise, Charles. Likewise. Thank you.
Yeah, and like, yeah, honestly, like hypersexuality, it's like, it's really hard because it's so like prevalent in our society. You know what I mean? It's just like, you can think of a bunch of like burger commercials where it's just like girls.
Junior during a Super Bowl, it's like.
Yeah, like everything's like really hypersexualized. You want to do it? Okay. Ooh, okay. I feel weird now, but okay. but like,
everyone.
Oh yes, thank you for doing that to Boba, by the way. So, but like the hypersexualization, like in our society, like it is like such a big idea, like it's such a big thing, and then but the thing is like it's not big for all of us, like but people definitely expect you to be like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Like, if you want to be. Not accepted, but if you just want to be, like, acknowledged, like, you know, it's almost like if you don't talk our language, then we're not going to talk to you. That's what it feels like, you know.
I totally get that, and I totally understand what you're saying. And then, like, I felt like this somewhat too. Like, I've been a little luckier, like, because I've just had like different kinds of people be my friends, but like I've never been like that either. Like, I've never, like, super checked out guys. That has never been my MO. I think at some point I tried because I was like, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. But then I was just like, nope, I don't know. Like, and I just don't do that. And it doesn't make me feel good. It's not fun. And, like, if I'm ever looking at, like, a guy that's, like, running outside with a shirt off and he has super abs, my thought is, man, I want abs. Like, how come I can't have those abs? I'm not like checking them out. I'm just like,
yes. I will look for like a split second and I'll be like, that's cool. You know, like, that's cool. That's about it. I'm not like, I don't know, drooling. Nope.
And I know, like, and I know for society, like, that's, like, a really big thing can that people can relate to. That's why, like, reality TV, like, The Bachelor, Love is Blind, all media. That stuff. Yeah, mainstream media. Yes, mainstream media, social media. Like, a lot of it is, like, really naked. Everyone's, like, really naked.
Oh, Trixie, that reminds me. I'm not sure what your next question was. But I remember, like, a few questions ago, you were asking me what were the steps that I was taking to feel included in my community.
Yes.
I have actually started to create short films. Really kind of, if not, it, like, some, I mean, some, well, I only have two so far. Two LGBT, well, three. But two of them, the first one is super, like, mirrors my experience. I was young and naive, okay? It's called Hey Man, Don't Watch It. Just kidding.
Everyone go watch it now. Someone find a link and put it in the comments.
Just kidding. It's called Hey Man. That was my first short film that I did in 2015. You know, I very young. Oh, I forgot to say, y'all, I'm a hopeless romantic. I don't know why I didn't say that from the beginning. I feel like that would have given so much context. But so that's what my hopeless romantic self did. I created that, you know, and then I got a little bit older. So 2 years to be exact, I created my next short film, which is actually the first one that focuses more so on, like, the longing for companion, to be acknowledged, to you know, just that like connection, you know, like this, you know, being next to someone. And that's called Flight, that I directed and written by my friend Matthew Portman. So I started using my art, my craft, as a way to say what I want to say by putting it out there, almost being like, this is my peace offering, you know?
So that's your peace offering to your community?
Yes.
Expressing yourself outwardly through film.
Yes. Yeah. But and also, like what you're talking about with media, it's like, because we, like, this is historical, okay? Like, for the longest time, it's definitely the late 30s, if not 40s, I think 30s to 40s is when they first had, like, the first gay, someone who's not straight, basically, character in a black and white TV show, and they were, you know, shown to be very effeminate, kind of caricature, very kind of, like, you know? So I feel like because of that really kind of paved the way for what we have seen and are seeing. But thankfully, you know, people are now starting to create stories that are more so realistic. And it's not only that, it's not only about drooling when we see, you know, some hot guy shirtless writing, you know, but it's more so like I'm also just a regular person too, and like inwardly, you know.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, that's a thing where, like, where gay people have definitely been showed as one way for, like, a really long time,
yeah.
Where it's, like, definitely, like, more effeminate, and, like, there's been stereotypes where it's just, like, you're gonna look a certain way, you're gonna dress a certain way, you're definitely gonna be somehow over, like, quote-unquote overly effeminate, even if, like, you're a muscle man, then you really become effeminate some ways. Like, I totally understand what you're talking about, because I'm like, yeah, this is, I think, what I experienced on TV and what I thought, like, growing up. I'm like, that's what gay people are. They're all like that. But when you get older and you know more, if you are lucky enough, because, you know, there are a lot of people who don't know any gay people, which is really strange to me, but we're in California. So, like, for me, I'm like, this is normal. There are gay people. So I've had the opportunities just like, see gay people and be like, they're people. But for everyone else, like, in different parts of our country who don't know any gay people, all they know is those stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like weird to think, or at least for me, I don't know if it's, like, even weirder for you, because, like, you know, like, you're a gay man, but you don't fit all these different stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, weird. I think it's weird. That, like, people, you know, like, would just be,
it's,
like,
it's mind-boggling.
Well, yeah, because it's, like, it's a whole gatekeeping thing. It's, like, it's weird to think that there would be people who look at you and are just like, oh, no, you're not gay because you don't look a certain way, or you don't dress a certain way.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't fit either or, the And it's like, how do I even choose to F with you, you know, associate myself with you in general? You know?
Yeah. How does, like, and have you ever joined like a gay fraternity or anything, or like?
No. Nope.
Okay. Like, I probably thought no, but like any sort, like, I don't know what else there is, because I don't know if people have like gay clubs, like at school.
Alliances,
yes.
Yes. Oh, I was like, fraternity, I would only say no, because I would not survive with it. But I did towards my last semester at SDSU, like literally the last semester I started. I like my experience with, like, you know, putting myself out there and wanting to, you know, find some sort of belonging, you know, it's like, yeah.
A gay YouTuber meetup. That, I know that's gay clubs. Sorry.
Gay clubs. Or remember, Marissa, we went to the singles introverted club, club meetup. Around the time we started going to the SD YouTubers last year. Yeah. But yes, partially. Super partially. Mm-hmm. Super.
And like, have you like, well, yeah, okay, so if people don't know, Adrian's a dancer. So I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that automatically interjected gay men into your life. And what, like, because it's just like, yeah, like,
so much awesome, lovely souls. Yeah
and like, because like, I know that, like, that's why I do online dating, because I'm a dancer. I'm like, everyone in my life is gay. And I'm not like, and I'm not a man, so like, here we go. But then how have you felt, actually? That's like a good question that I'm interested in, like, because there have been other gay men in your life because you're a dancer. And like, has that actually helped you feel less lonely as a gay man, or more lonely?
Less, yes. Yeah, because with your last question about finding places, you know, like finding clubs to you know, be a part of, I feel like that was that was really the closest thing that I've ever been to like surrounding myself with, you know, really a lot of, you know, people in the LGBT community. And it was amazing, you know, because, and I'm specifically referring to visionary, you know, there's Ramon, there's Marty, and then also people that I've, excuse me, choking on my boba.
He's gonna drink more.
People that I met along the way, like Drew, you know, the Dark Horse, there's so much. And yeah, actually good times. Really good times.
So but also clear... too. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. The last thing I wanted to say too, and with that too, obviously remember, like, kind of, I mean, just being in companies and dance companies in general, there's so much close proximity. You spend long hours with people. You make body contact, and through like the dances that we do, and it's like, ooh, okay, you know, like I feel moved, you know.
There's a lot of trust. We have to catch each other.
I feel like I like this person, you know? And it's like.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I probably know who you had a crush on, but that's.
Like, okay. And that wasn't the first time.
So you're saying that it was easier for you to connect with other gay dancers because it was a more, what I'm hearing is that it was easier for you to connect with other gay dancers and like your gay community that way, because it's like, it's less people and it's more like, it is more personal. Like you're working.
Yes. And it was more so in line with who I was, you know, who I am. Like as a dancer, as an artist. You know, so
where is the circle now to combat your loneliness? Hey, I'm part of that circle, and I'm still here. I'm just not a gay man.
Where's your circle now?
I think he's asking, like, where are those people? He doesn't dance with them anymore. Like, yeah. And that's what's hard. Like, sometimes when your friends are dancers and you don't dance with them anymore, you kind of, it's really easy to lose contact because as artists, we're really in the thing that we're doing.
Yes.
And that can, like, you know, and like you can definitely
yeah.
make,
yeah.
you can make time, but you know, it's always easier.
When y'all have to be there, you know, that's why I'm so happy that I, you know, got a chance to, you know, bond and get to know Trixie even more outside of Visionary, because it has been a while. I was like, hey girl, how you doing? Almost 10 years later.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Holy crap, it's been really long. We're old. I'm old.
Spencer, if you're watching this, please have us do a alumna performance for you.
Yeah, that would be fun. Okay, so how are you working on your loneliness now in quarantine?
Okay, really, really, really excited to talk about that. And it's something that I'm like kind of learning, like learning as I go and growing as I go through it. So when, you know, when it gets really bad, I just really allow myself to just like cry. Like the other day I was like sitting down like this, you know, eating lunch, just watching something. And like, it just came out and I was like, okay, this is happening. I'm crying while meeting, and, you know, and it's beautiful, you know, giving myself the permission to let it out, especially when it feels so heavy. I'm like, okay, I got to do something about it. So what I will do is I will either meditate, which I've been doing for a couple of days now. I've been doing yoga with Adrian, which has really been helpful because really depending on the individual, you know, some people like the very hard hitting workouts, you know, which I also started doing too. But for me, I realized that I more so resonate with a gentle, like kind of low impact yet deep stretches. So I did start doing yoga. Anything that really helps kind of calm and ease the mind, you know, because for me it's like, you know, and I've been doing a lot of cleaning. Yeah.
So a lot, it sounds like a lot of, not mind, like distraction in a bad way, but a lot of distraction and a lot of growing.
Yes.
Personal growth.
Yes. Also, I've been doing a lot of journaling. Let me show you this.
We get to see his journal. I wonder what it looks like. I don't think it's going to be plain. That's all I really know. I don't think his journal is going to look really plain. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to be really sad.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So I've been journaling. I've also been just like writing. Like besides journaling, I've just been like just like typing off my feelings. Like if everything else like kind of doesn't work, I'm like, okay. And it's kind of almost my last resort. I don't know why, but it somehow produces the best like text, like spoken word. So I will just literally write out what I'm thinking. And then I read it after and I'm like, dang, you know? So editing, I guess at this point, I'm literally just like extracting and using all of my like creative energies to like create. Yes, it's a llama.
It is a llama. Yeah, no, it sounds good. It sounds like you're doing a lot of self-development and self-work. And honestly, I feel like that's one of the best answers for loneliness, because you're always going to have you. And I feel like the better you build your relationship with yourself, like the better you'll actually be prepared for relationships with other people.
Yes. And you know what, too, not to sound morbid, but something that I've been doing and have been telling myself is, you know, like especially like moments like these where I do feel lonely, but I'm like, everything else is fine. I'm physically okay. Health is good. You know, and I always ask myself, like, if you can't find a reason to be happy now, then when are you ever going to be happy? When life forces you to be happy? When you become, you know, terminally ill, or you know, like when these kinds of like, or those kinds of, you know, like urgent, like life, you know, life situations, you know, like when are we ever going to be happy, you know? Yeah, so I've also really have been meditating on the idea that, like, and I think it's true. I mean, I believe it's true that happiness and feelings are always fleeting, but joy is something we can always decide on, you know, even if it's super hard, you know, like these last couple of days, I'm like, dang, this hurts. But, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's something great to bring up, like, because usually it takes people like some sort of tragedy to happen to kind of like look at their life and be like, oh, I should start now, or I should change this, like this
living.
Yeah, I should start living the way that I've been wanting to live. And I feel like actually, honestly, this pandemic can be that for a lot of people, like, you know, like talking to Leia last week, when she was saying like, now she has to sit with her feelings. Sure. And so she's like discovering her relationship with herself.
She was so precious in that interview. I was like, yes.
Yeah. And like, it's so great of you, like, that you do have this pandemic time. And like, it's not like you're saying like, oh, it's all fine, because it's not fine. But you're acknowledging that like, you can still find joy. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's actually one of my, and I say this a lot, but I'll say it again. Like, that's one of my favorite things about you is like your optimism and your search for joy, because we all know I'm not an optimist, but like, and I want joy too, but I feel like, you know, like knowing you and other people like who have like optimism, like is a good thing for me, because it helps me to find that balance. Because I'm so like rooted like in realism and stuff like that. And right now, realistically, everything's really dark. And that makes it easy to discount the fact that there are still good things that exist, mm-hmm. you know? And so like optimism will help me find that. Because right now, like, it's not like I'm trying to be a negative or pessimist. It's just the world is dark. We're in a pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree. And just two things that I quickly want to say about that. It's like there are days, like the heavier days for me are like shit, I feel like crap, like I like everything is dark and the world is falling apart. How do I even begin to, you know, rise above that? And also the second one is, you know, like I really really have to, you know, like I'm really grateful for that ability to be optimistic, because that's one of the only reasons I feel like I'm still kind of, I guess, alive and thriving, and not like a product of, you know, not into drugs and not into, you know, thankfully not that route, you know, thankfully, you know.
Yes, your optimism has protected you.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
In a good way. Like, yes. In a very, like, good actual way. Like, yeah, like, and I want to say, like, because I think some people have this really bad view of optimists, because there are optimists who are just like ignore everything, and I'm like, that's not really an optimist, that person's just like doesn't care or like can't face things, like, but that's not Adrian. Like, Adrian is an optimist, but Adrian is very aware of like the situations around him, and he understands, like, he doesn't try to avoid his problems. That's why I feel like sometimes people think optimists are, they're like people who don't, like, they're just like, no, everything is like sunshine and roses, and like they'll pretend the bad things aren't happening. But I feel like that's not really what an optimist is, but I totally understand those feelings, because there are definitely people who call themselves optimists, but really they just don't want to deal. But Adrian is a person who fully acknowledges the situation and just always chooses to focus on the opportunities in front of him, like the goodness that he sees. And I feel like that's what a true optimist is. It's not someone who's like being blind about things. It's just someone who keeps always choosing to see the good. Like, that's their main focus. So yeah, it's really cool. It's, again, it's one of my favorite things about you.
Thank you. Bless you.
It's really funny, because when you did that, you turned blue. I don't know why it didn't happen this time. Actually, that is changing the color of your video a little bit. But anyways, okay, well, as we are drawing near to a conclusion, what have you learned about loneliness? Like, what are, here, give me like three big things or one, whatever, it doesn't really matter. Like, the biggest things that you've learned about loneliness.
free.
Wait, what? Say it again.
No, I was just making a joke. I'm like, but I'm assuming, but the maximum is three.
The maximum is three? I mean, if you have more than three, it's totally fine.
Probably not.
No repeating.
Okay. Just need a second thing.
Wait, let me try the beatbox.
For those that don't know what I'm looking at, I actually have my window. I'm using my window light, and I'm looking at this beautiful sunset, the dark cloudy cloud over here. But well, first of all, I've learned that it's... Oh, sorry, wait, I didn't let you beatbox. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, we don't need to try that. Go ahead. I'll do another time.
Reaching out is really important. You know, reaching out, being vocal about how you feel. And I think I'll probably just be like spit dropping them. So it'll probably be more than
That's totally fine. Go ahead.
Allowing yourself to be like allowing myself to be to really feel vulnerable, but also realizing that like, okay, you have had enough of this. You're at the bottom of this. Now it's time to go, you know, like, you can't, you know, because I feel like I've definitely had experiences where I'm like, I can spiral down and it's like, you know, hard to get out of, you know? And I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, I guess from my experience, I think the loneliness is really, really crippling too. So that's why I'm always very active and like doing whatever I can to not stay in there for too long, you know. And I guess the last thing that I want to say is, no matter what happens, you know, don't give up, because there are better days and there will be better days to come. So
there are, and that I feel like when you're lonely, like, that's sometimes hard to feel, but like, you're absolutely right. Yeah. There can be better days if you keep going. There can be better days. Like, yeah. So yeah. Oh, thanks for talking, Adrian. Do you feel, does this make you feel better? Or like, how does this make you feel now?
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the you and I, just the one-on-one.
Cause I know, like,
the conversational, there you go. That's what I meant. Because I know when we're with Marissa, it's more like program, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how, like, and I know, see, the thing that, you know, talking about your own loneliness, like, that's really hard. Like, that's obviously very personal. How do you feel talking about it?
There's a new comment. Hold on. Oh, hi, Emma. I feel really good. I'm really, really, really happy, actually, that we got to do this, but also that this was the topic that we talked about, because remember when you reached out, I was like, what do I want to come in for? And I was like, And then... Then and there, I was like, you know what? This is what I'm feeling, so we'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly like think it's really awesome of you to pick this, because it's like, we've talked about this before, like, like hanging out and stuff. And I feel like I'm glad that you got a chance. Yeah, I'm glad you got a chance to like process it like in multiple ways, because like, we're doing a live, so this is like another way of processing.
Yes.
Like, you have feedback from other people.
More, you know. Back then, I was like, you know.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, I'm just saying, and it's not intimidating anymore. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you know, kind of the scaffolding of like vulnerability on vulnerability. So thank you for having me.
Of course. Do you feel less alone now?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I do. And the last thing I want to say too is that loneliness is not, everyone can be susceptible to that. You know, it's not just a gay thing. It's not just, you know, it's like, I think in that I already don't feel well in that. It's like, there are also others that can relate to this, you know?
Yes. And that's why we talk, right? That's why we make content, to show people that they're not alone. There are other people who can relate, maybe not exactly, but they might be able to relate very closely. And we talk about this a lot. Like, that's why representation is really important to both of us, because it's also another thing to see someone who looks like you having these emotions. Like, it's great to have anyone like, you know, like understand you, but it's also like another thing. Like it hits like another place, like in your heart. Like when it's like, oh, I know you can relate to me, not just because of this one thing, but it's like, you're also like Filipino, like you're also gay, you know, like there's like different ways we attach to each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really glad. I'm glad you came on to talk. This was fun always.
What about you? How did you feel?
How do I feel? Mm-hmm. Like talking about loneliness and stuff?
Yeah, and then being the one to like facilitate it.
I mean, I like being able to give a people a platform to talk, and I like helping facilitate people talk because I think talking isn't easy, you know, especially because like a lot of my stuff, well, not a lot, like most of my stuff, all of my stuff is like mental health related. So it's just like, you know, like the fact that you're talking about loneliness and like being gay, like that's a lot. That can be a lot. And so like I love providing this opportunity, and I love being able to facilitate and help people say the things that they need to say, because it's just like, you have great things to say. And again, it's just like, yeah, like representation matters to me a lot, where it's just like everyone, however they look, whatever freaking color they are, whatever, like they can come here and like tell their story. And it's like, and it's
different generations. Yeah, someone with Gen Z yesterday.
Yeah, Gen Z yesterday. Yeah. And like, and I also just think like, you know, like your story is very interesting. And I also just like learning from you and the other people who come on. Cause like, we are all different. Like we're similar in a lot of ways, but also like, I don't have the experiences that you have exactly. And my hope is that when I get to learn about from your experiences, that, you know, other people are learning too, and then we develop more compassion and kindness towards each other.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how I feel. Okay, Adrian, tell the peoples where they can find you.
Down there. It's been scrolling for the whole hour. Hello. That's Trixie's Instagram. That's Trixie's YouTube. Mine's coming up. That's my Instagram, Adrian Pinguino. That's my YouTube, Adrian Pangilinan. Yeah.
Yeah, so Pinguino and Pangilinan.
Yes. Can I just plug something real quick?
Of course. This is what this end is for. Plug away, because I'm also going to plug things.
I know. I am usually take advantage of that. But real talk though, I just want to promote. I'm just kidding. Let you all know that my SD Voyager article came out, in which I actually got to talk about my experiences being a content creator for my YouTube channel. So thank you for that. What else have I been? Nope, that's it. And, you know, just constantly creating content for my personal channel and the Philam Film Collective, which is actually more consistent than my channel. So every Thursdays at 5 p.m., expect content. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, there's content.
Much love to SDFC, Charles Gray, Marissa Rich, and Trixie for having me. Try not to get emotional. Thank you.
And
wait, Trixie, yes. I'm sorry. I you're my friend, so I'm gonna say this. Can I plug in one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
So I was talking about meditating earlier, like super brief. I'm surprised I didn't talk about it longer, but my friend, my mentor, Nick Q Mahabong, who's currently a monk in either he's in New York right now or Thailand, wherever he is, he challenged me to meditate for 15 minutes for 21 days. And if for those that are following my Instagram, in my story specifically, I've been posting my IG stories where I've been meditating for 15 minutes using Insight Timer, or you know, you could just use the timer if anything, you know. So and the last thing I want to say about that is it's really life-changing, you know, from my experience so far, because I feel like I can think more clear. Everything feels more clear versus just like still swimming in my own like sadness, you know. So I felt moved to say that. So.
Oh yes, thank you for sharing that. That's really important.
Thank you, Adrian, for being so open and vulnerable with us. It's not easy or fun to talk about loneliness, but it's a topic that many people can relate to and need help with. You can catch Adrian on Instagram at Adrian Pinguino, and you can find him on YouTube as Adrian Pangalinan. You can see those spelled out at the bottom of the description below. Thank you, listeners, for being open and listening to different points of view on this podcast. I'm really appreciative of that, and I have news to share with you. I finally released my affirmation cards for Asian women, and they are on pre-order on my website, thethoughtfulbeast.com. I appreciate any orders and support. I really do. And before we go, I do want to reiterate that the first Pride was a riot. We are not all part of the LGBTQ plus community, but most of us are part of communities that have had to fight against injustice. Think about that so you're ready when it's your turn to talk.